والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today I wasn't scheduled to speak today at this point, but I was in Waterloo last week, and we did a talk, and basically it has to deal with the topic today. I think it was just some mixed up. I think Abdul Rashid Brown was supposed to be here. If he's here, if he likes to keep the talk, I don't have a problem with that. But I'll start, inshallah. Now, you know, the day is winding down, and a lot of brothers and sisters have put a good amount of effort in to bring this event to fruition, inshallah. I think sometimes we were very pathetic as a community. So many thousands of Muslims in Toronto complaining about $60 or $50, or complaining about, oh, ISNA's charging too much, or this, that, the other. I think if you have a problem, you can go to the brothers and deal with them. They're very nice. Brother Shamim is a very lovely brother, you know, very considerate, and trying to get me into the dinner yesterday. Very lovely. And I think it's really pathetic on our part when we put a money figure on giving an Islamic environment and being amongst Muslims. It's nice to see our brothers and sisters all over, the busted up, the pious, the non-pious, the young men. I think I'm going to start speaking with a man. You know my topic today, man. Like, man, we're finished, man. Man. So before I start, inshallah, this is a nice thing that the sisters are doing in the stall there. They have Jazakumullahu Khairan, and I think it's a very nice thing. I think we should support them. They're doing nice art, and inshallah they improve. So I would just like to say Jazakumullahu Khairan. Here's my stamp for today, inshallah. So now, we're one step away from the hereafter. Whether it's money, whether it's dunya, whatever it is, we're just one step away, because we don't know when the timeline is actually going to finish itself. There's a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stated, he said, لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ, that the hour will not be established حَتَّى يَكُونَ أَسْعَدَ النَّاسِ الدُّنْيَا لُكَاعُ ابْنُ لُكَاعُ, that the most happiest person with the dunya would be the most ignorant, stupid, fool. This is Luqa'a ibn Luqa'a, actually the translation. Literal translation is the most ignorant, stupid fool. Meaning that person will be so happy with what they have. So the awl, and this is there's a riwayah in Tirmidhi and also in Musnad of Imam Ahmad. So this riwayah is very, you know, shocking for us to see that what's going to actually take place. So a lot of people who really get happy with what they have. Now, dunya in itself comes from the word dana'a or danu'a, which means vile. So, and it means to be low and despicable. So what we have, dunya, but now we have wrong conception of dunya. As soon as the brothers and sisters start actually becoming a little pious, everything becomes dunya. Oh, dunya, 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 dunya. Your wife is not a dunya. Your house that you're living is not a dunya. Although, metaphorically speaking, I mean that everything is in the dunya, but Islamically, the dunya is something extra of what you have. Of what you have that you can get rid of, but you're literally clinging onto it. So it really takes an effort to get away from it. And adna'a, also from the same root word, means inferior. So this dunya that we keep running for is something that is inferior and has second-rate and poor quality. Now, we are hurrying towards something that is inferior. So the question on everybody else's mind is, how to get ahead? How do you and I get ahead? Just getting ahead. What does it mean to get ahead? Corporate ladder, how you dress, I'm getting ahead, I'm getting ahead. What does it mean to get ahead? And I know there's very good brothers and sisters, the rich and the poor. Because I used to make a mistake sometimes and say, oh, they're very good. Some of them very, very generous. They have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they're few and far in between. Usually they're miserly, because this is a test for them. But they're very good brothers and sisters who have that. But what I mean by getting ahead, that in the expense of every other thing, you want to lose that to get ahead, to get this inferior thing. Because by the very text of dunya itself, is that something that is inferior. So inferior, we're running to get something that is inferior itself. Now, whatever the sacrifice, it doesn't matter. I get up at 4 o'clock, I will study, I will get up at this and I will do that, I will get up and I will drive for 2 hours, work from 8 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock at night, drive another 2 hours, come at 7, sleep in front of the TV, don't even look at my wife, don't talk to my children, I will do whatever I have to do because I'm getting ahead for something that is actually inferior. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ma'ashara al-jinni wal ins, that all mankind and all people of, all jinn, the unseen creatures, didn't there came to you messenger telling you, yaqussuna alaykum, meaning expounding to you the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and warning you, liqa'a yawmikum hada, warning you of this day, meaning the day of judgment, that this day will come. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, your sa'a al-sughra will start with your death. The small hour will start with your death. And it's that close. It's just one step away, and it's just that close. So we run after things that are second rate. Dunya is second rate. But we're running after it. Whether it's rap music, 50 cents rapper. Who's 50 cents? How many people have heard of 50 cents? He's, as they say, he's one of the most popular. Raise your hand. Today's gonna raise your hand. 50 Cent. I've never heard him rap, but I've read a commentary on him that says that he was shot 8 times and 1 time through his tongue. 9 times, oh mashallah. Even the cat has 7 lives. That's not our Islamic tradition, so. So you have 50 cents rapper. So how do we put ourselves out with property, with every other thing that we have? We're putting ourselves out with every other thing. Whether to amass more, to get more. And some brothers, I know this brother in, I really sometimes get mixed up where's Scarborough and where's, anyway, somewhere down that side, by the Negev Masjid, that area. There's a brother, you know, he's a Guyanese brother. And it just his welcoming and his adab and how he treated myself and my family. You know, not that we were just so old, he treated us like, he just gave everything. He said, here's my house, here's my Acura, here's this, here's the fridge, here's this, here's that, and I'm gone. And he just left it with us. And you know, just his feeling of his brotherhood was amazing because we had a shahada in his house and he has another house where another sheikh is staying. And we had a shahada in his house too. Within that, it was a barakah actually in this last December period. And I just went to his closet and took some of his new books and I said, here you go, this is a present for you. My brother, and I told him, I took you, I did this, I want to replenish. He said, no, jazakumullahu khairan that you did that. So we need people like that. We need people actually who give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I felt a sense of sincerity. So not just getting property, but we get property and we never share it with somebody. So it's always somebody, you see your Muslim brother day in and day out living in a little apartment, 4 kids, he can't afford it. Why don't you give them a hand? Why don't you do something? And I'm sure there's a lot of people that can do a lot of khair, but we don't do it because we're stuck in this material imbalance that we have. So we should have a balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُو رَحْمَةً. Allahu Akbar. This is amazing. You know, all the Quran is just the literal. You know, even when I see Alif Lam Mim, I said, wow, this is my own bias. But I just feel so related when I see the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, your Lord is free of all wants. Dhu Rahmah. He is free of all wants, meaning He wants nothing. He is not in need of anything that you have. But you are in need of everything that He has. Dhu Rahmah. And He is full of mercy. Full of mercy. This is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So if you really want to establish your life on that pattern, you go and go to you are Rabbil Alameen. Dhu Rahmah. He's filled with mercy. Because everything in this life actually shows His mercy. and his intricate balance that he has set in this life. Once you don't understand that balance, then you go astray. You start worshipping different things. Worshipping money. Worshipping idols. Worshipping things that are actually something that you can create with your own hands, with your own desires. You start worshipping your desires, your looks, your fame, your fortune. This becomes actually your God. So if you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Dhu Rahmah, He's one with, you know, with an immense amount of mercy that we cannot comprehend. Allahu Akbar. Adam Smith, the father of capitalism or the father of economics, he said, he was a miserable man. He said, whatever, and he even had a point, because these people had, even though they made the system, they understood the point beyond the system. They said that whoever, wherever there is great property, there is great inequity. Wherever there is great property, and these are the founders of this whole get going, destroy yourself, destroy your family, but make sure you get everything you can get and then take nothing to your grave. So this is being advertised so well. They keep, brothers keep saying, oh, the Darwin theory, let us, oh, I can prove this. But they don't understand. This is a way of life. It is not something scientifically you're proving and disproving. It is a way of life, because once the Darwin theory is destroyed, what happens is that the way of life, because materialistic concept actually gets demolished, decimated. So then the way of life, you cannot, once you know that there is a link to a greater being, then you have to start becoming religious. So the Christians start actually becoming more Christian. And it's very hard for the people that when they become religious to always be in this materialistic trap. So it is not just the Darwin theory that you're trying to, it's a way of life, it's an ideology that actually is there. So there's great inequity where there's great property. So he even knew that. So we're quick to get poor quality, because dunya is poor quality. They gave jobs to the natives, indigenous people. And they gave jobs to these indigenous people, for example, $4 an hour. I'm just making a figure. Like a brother said. And so and so said, man! So I have to make up my own man, also. Feed off of you. I froze my dear chair here, Shahana, for the time he was frozen last. Maybe we turned the thermostat low and I was just too tired. And then what good enemy has, mashallah. So, anyway, $4 an hour. My brain is a little bit scattered today because I have a lot of pressures, you know. I'll speak to you about that, inshallah. $4 an hour. So you give them $4 an hour. Now what happens with $4 an hour is that they went to work and then they said, well, in order for us to motivate you further, we'll give you $8 an hour. So you know what they did? They worked half the time. They said, why are you doing that? I said, well, we only needed this amount to live. So we go and spend more time with our families. So they couldn't get them, because these were people of fitrah and they understood land and so on. If you go into South America and different areas, when you go into the wilderness and you see the trees and you see the Amerindian people, they're lovely people. I just sat with an old man as though I knew him all my life. You know, as a Pakistani, you know, I sat with Chachu. Chachu was sitting next to me. Or Chacha. Not the cha-cha that you do the dance. So, they're lovely people, and when you get close to land, you will understand how lovely they are. They're really lovely, and you know what the Amerindians do is that the male, he sleeps, he eats, he drinks, and she's very strong, and she, you know, sharpens the arrows, she takes care of everything, and when he comes with the catch, he comes with the fish. She goes and prepares it, cooks it, cleans it. So all he has to do is go and hunt. And that's the lifestyle that I'm looking for. And my wife has given it to me, mashallah. I just want to sleep, eat, just go and hunt a little bit, and come back, and that's it. So, and they're lovely people, but they have a lifestyle that they're so close to nature. But we have a lifestyle that is so imbalanced, so that's why we cannot enjoy anything. Sometimes you need to get out. We have to stop building our schools that are so ugly. They put gray things on the window. That's a suffocation for me. I go into prisons to counsel and to meet some brothers and so on and so forth. And every time they close the door behind me, I go, oh Allah. Every time they go, oh my goodness. And then you would go in and you see this big brother coming out. I said, brother, why did you do that? Again, I talk to you. If I ever see you again, and this brother, yes, brother, inshallah. And if you just take me, you can squeeze me to death. Yes, brother. I said, don't do that. If I catch you outside again, you better report it. So I see out of that window in the jail, you know, little narrow thing like this. It just reminded me of the school system itself, because when I went to the school system to give some talks, I saw the same thing. So I told the teacher, I said, why don't you take your class out sometimes? It was a nice summer day, and I said, they're just dying in here, they're not paying attention. Take them out, let them breathe, give them some proper education. He said, you know, you have a point, and we're doing that. So we keep being artificial. Now what we have to look, we are crazy, going crazy at the expense of our kids. More money, more happiness. This is our solution. More money, more happiness. Secondly, more hours put into studies or work or whatever, therefore you will be happy. That's another solution we have, which is not a solution. Why, as I told you before, one of the sons said, I wish my father was dead. He wrote that email to his son. I wish he was my father, I wish you were dead. That's what he wished for his father, and his father is a good brother, but spending no time with his son. So now we're working for what? To destroy our families, working to destroy our iman. So we are working to lose our families. Thirdly, more material will give you, your family, better comfort, so you will be more happy. It doesn't work like that. Now, Hatim al-Azm, he said, Ali rahmatullah, he was with his shaykh, and he said, the first benefit that I observed in creation and saw that everyone had a love and one passionately desire whom he loved or longed for. Now some of the love accompanied the lover to the brink of sickness and death, and others to the gate of the grave itself. And all of them returned and left them there alone. So no one goes into the tomb with him. So he, after studying with his teacher for many years, he was giving some, propounding some of the things that he learned. So that's what he's saying. And then he said, فَتَفَكَّرْتُ وَقُلْتُ أَفْضَلُ مَحْبُوبِ الْمَرْءِ مَا يَدْخُلُ فِي قَبْرِهِ. That he thought about that everyone had a loved one and everyone followed them to the brink of sickness or to some part, but only up to the grave itself. So then he thought about that and he said, the best beloved is the thing that will actually literally follow you into the grave itself. And we all know the hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, three will follow and two will return. Your family will return and your property will return. But what will stay with you are the good deeds that you have done. So he thought for many years, he studied with his shaykh, and he came up with that. Then he said, I found to be nothing else than good works. So I took it as my beloved to illuminate my grave for me and to comfort me and not to leave me alone. To illuminate my grave and to comfort me. So he is actually not distracted by every other thing that's there, but he's actually looking into what is giving him or what is going to give him this satisfaction. So he said, it's nothing but good works. Nothing but good works, because every other thing will just come to this and leave after that. Secondly, he said, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْعَى. You know, even when they say that, they don't say it with an arrogance, let me tell you that. They're saying it with understanding and perception. He said that, I saw that people, that they were running after jam'i uqam ad-dunya, meaning they were running after gathering the wreckage of this life. Look at how he's putting it. The wreckage of this life, or this dunya. They were running after the wreckage of this dunya. Thumma yumsiku, and then they were holding on with their hands very, very tight. فَتَأَمَّلْتُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَذُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. That he said after that, that when they were holding on to it so tightly, that he actually deliberated over the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, what is with you? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what is with you will vanish, vanquish, it will go away. But what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not go away. So that's the mindset that we need to have. That what is with Allah will not go away. What is with us will go away. So if you don't spend for the sake of Allah, it will go away. You will never send anything forward. If you don't actually help somebody in distress, it will go away. You will not be having that opportunity to do it any longer. You will not have that time left. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he said that the night and day are working against you. You should also work against them. That's a very profound statement. Meaning the night and day are working, meaning you're getting older and older and older and older. But you should also work against them. Work against them. Hasan al-Basri alayhi rahmatullah, he said you're about a bundle of days. And every day that passes by, your bundle keeps getting smaller. So we need to actually think over that. So the sagacious people are the ones that deliberate over these and not lose track of their lives. They have a balance in their life. So he said, so I gave freely my worldly possessions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake by distributing them amongst the poor so that it would be my provision in the future with Him the Exalted. Meaning they gave for the sake of Allah ta'ala. They said, here you go. Here you go. Because he understood that people were holding on to the wreckage and they cannot take that wreckage with them. That's a that takes people of thought. Takes people of thought. Now we hold on to everything. Our fridges are full, we hold on to that. We complain when we don't have a certain ingredient. Our accounts are overflowing, we hold on to that. We fight over a few dollars. We break relationships over 500 bucks, and I've seen it with my eyes. 500 bucks, that's it. So, it is time to do good, brothers and sisters, and really see how we actually are going to come out of this rat race. Some balance for your family. Do something. Wake up for Fajr. Read Quran together. Something practical. Not something so outlandish that you need to do these things. If there's a convention you don't like it, so whatever, just let your kids mingle with the Muslims. It's a good area to see the light of believers that are there. Thirdly, he said, I saw everyone working very hard, exhausting themselves to obtain food and sustenance. Exhausting themselves to obtain food and sustenance. And he said, بِحَيْدُ يَقَعُ بِهِ فِي شُبْهَةٍ وَحَرَامٍ. And tempted everywhere with shubha, doubtful things and haram. Meaning everywhere they're in doubtful things and in haram. Tempted with that. And the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is quite clear. It says, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبَهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَعَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبَهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ كَالرَّعِي يَرْعَى حَوْلَ الْهِمَا يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَبْتَعَ فِيهِ. And to the end of the hadith itself. But this part itself, you can see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالُ بَيِّنٌ, that the halal is clear and the haram is clear. And between them there are umur, that there are issues that many people don't know. So if you safeguard yourself from falling into shubha, doubtful thing, you safeguard your religion and you safeguard your honor. Honor is very, very important. And they know that the Muslims' honor is very important. That's why they know in their secret documents to humiliate Muslims, because they want to degrade them. Because honor is very, they study us, Allah believe me, like sitting ducks, ostriches with our head into the sand. Should I do this? Why can I do this? I will not do this. I will have to wait for my daughter to have a university education, even though she has a boyfriend. I don't care. I will wait for my son, even though I know he has a girlfriend. I will wait to do this so I can satisfy the requirement of my community who are not based on Allah and His Messenger. And that's a very big problem that we have. So the parents have to start realizing that they have to find good mates for their children so they don't fall. Islam will be the last bastion for what? For morality. Because every other thing is falling apart. So if you're going to fall apart, who's going to save? So we're supposed to be saviors of humanity. So at least have some moral integrity. So then he said, they denigrated themselves in humiliation. And I pondered over the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That all the creatures on this earth, all the creatures on this earth are dependent on the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. Look at what he's deriving from what he's saying. He's deriving it that he's giving a solution. He said, I saw that. Then he said that I knew that my livelihood is guaranteed by Allah. My livelihood is guaranteed by Allah. So I engaged myself in worship and cut off my covetousness with every other thing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't have this jealousy and rancor and hatred. He's giving you the one he has actually came up with. And then he's saying the solution. I cut my envy and hatred with every other thing. My greed with every other thing. And I have made my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that everyone is throwing themselves into doubtful things and into haram, just trying to find the sustenance. But as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everything on this earth, their sustenance is relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't kill yourself in doing that. So he said, I understood that, so I'm no longer greedy of Fatima or Abdullah or whoever it is, or that they're driving a Lexus and I'm driving a bicycle. It doesn't matter to me. It's okay. Drive a bicycle, but do it with taqwa. Drive a Lexus, but do it with taqwa. I've seen brothers with Lexus, very, very good brothers. There's nothing wrong in having a good car that doesn't break down, especially for Allah's sake. Stop buying GM cars and Fords. It really is dependent on the fiqh that you have. I'm really a Toyota man because, you know, it's by experience. I had a Yemeni brother leaving and he was leaving, and some brothers were very, you know, they tricked him. They said, we're going to buy your car. And they didn't. It was an old car, 1988 Corolla. Had holes and stuff. So he was leaving, so I said, okay, I have this much money, I will buy it from you. He said, no, I'm, wallah, you know, when the Yemenis get twisted, they get twisted. He said, I'm going to give you at this price. I said, okay. So I took it. I drove it for 5 years. And I didn't think that thing would last me 2 months. And then I gave it to one of my staff. And then he sold it to somebody else, and I still see it on the road. And I said, wow, my experience. SubhanAllah, Toyota. Why did you go to Toyota? I don't get paid by Toyota, brothers and sisters. Next thing you know, brother, how are you with advertising Toyota? I don't get paid. Actually, goes towards a better car. So if you're going to buy it, might as well, if you have some fifth, buy a Toyota. So very simple. Buy a GM. No, and that's not also a fatwa. It's just a comment. The brothers and sisters who have a GM and Ford, don't go and crash it somewhere. That is no good. Don't do that. So anyway, and then the last thing he said, actually it's not the last thing, it's the fourth thing he said. He said that I saw everyone was depending on everything, like every other created thing. بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ دِنَارِ وَدِرْهَمْ. And some of them were dependent on dinar or the dirham, meaning money. They were dependent on. And then he said, بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ مَالِ وَالْمُلْكِ. Some of them were dependent on mal or mulk, meaning on property or dominion. They were just dependent on that. And he said some of them were dependent on trade and some on craft, meaning they were dependent on that. And then he said, بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ مَخْلُوقٍ مِثْلِ. And then some of them were dependent on creatures like themselves. So, and then he said, فَتَّمَّرْتُ. Meaning he followed that بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَىٰ. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Meaning, the one who actually relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is sufficient for him. And then look at this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ. That verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make His amr, will make His command come to fruition. Will make His command come to fruition. بَالِغُ, بَلَغَ means something that rises. Something that rises. So He will make His command comes to fruition. SubhanAllah. And then He said at the end, He said, I thought about that. And then He said, I relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to have Him to be the best of my witness and to the best of the disposers of my affair. So thinking about that, meaning everybody, either they're after the dunya, either they're after the money, after the something. So, or either they're dependent on makhluq, meaning creature just like themselves. So what I did, I thought about that and gave the verse from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the one who relies on Allah, He is the best of disposer for their affair. And He will make His command come to fruition, whether you like it or you don't. فَفِرُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So, speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. So this is the way we have to go. Spiritual people are the best people. Are the best people. And spiritual people have good manners. Not just phony manners. They're good under extreme. They don't harm people. They don't do things that actually badger people. So good people are people who help and do the right thing, and they have good manners. And we need to have good manners because this is the foundation of the deen, ikhlaq. And you know, inshallah, we don't have time to speak over that sometimes. You know, help all the vendors that are out there, some of the brothers and sisters struggling, especially these sisters who are there. You know, they have these nice cards, just give it to somebody. We go and get cards from Hallmark and all this, and Mother, you are the best mother that I ever had. Mother, you are my mother for always. Of course you're my mother. You fool. So get these things, it says a lot, you know, it gives a Muslim touch. So help these sisters, inshallah. Just buy it, it's very, very cheap, and give it out, inshallah. JazakAllah.
Beer!
Beer! My son is 11 years old and didn't pray with me when I lead Salah. What do you suggest for me? I beat him, no? There's something that you did wrong. The problem is not the child himself. Most of the time it's the parent. So something you did wrong in bringing them up, because you didn't lead enough in your house. Maybe if you're a masjid goer, that's good, but you should also sometimes save the sunnah to come back and pray with your family, and it's acceptable to do that because Mu'adh ibn Jabal did that. So in fact, I don't want to get into that, but it's acceptable for you to come and pray the sunnah to have at least a jama'ah in your house so your kids actually see that. Or if your kids are old enough and you would like to take them out to the masjid, that's a good thing. So you didn't do you did something wrong along the way. And then the wrong things also, the TV and all those things, make people lazy and they don't understand. When they don't understand the meaning of Fatiha, there's no connection. So obviously when you don't understand the meaning of something, there cannot be a connection. So you did something wrong. Something wrong along the way. Now what you need to do is to make friends with your child again and say that it's compulsory for you now to start praying. And give them good advice, but not force, because la ikrah bid deen, there's no compulsion in religion. So you cannot severely punish and start, you know, reprimanding and so on and so forth, but you should start. What I do with my children is that, you know, Hamza is 4 years old, almost four, and when he prays, he goes into sajda and stays there. Sometimes he's stepping and looking and talking to his sisters. But my eldest daughter, who's seven, almost going on eight, you know, I just sometimes, very once in a while, maybe in a month or so, sometimes if I don't see her joining us, I just say, you know, it's nice, you know, if you would like to join us, that would be a good thing. And she joins, she's a very good girl, and then Amina also follows. So, slowly you bring them, and you don't have to put it in their brain like this, but with your practice, knowing that when your girls are coming of age, they know that once they come of age, they themselves will wear the hijab. So it's not something that you indoctrinate them. They themselves will know because they see the mother doing that all the time. Your environment is the best thing, and it is something that will affect you. So talk to him nicely, bring them to places like this so they can go to prayer, they can do the right thing. So when they see other people doing, it becomes also okay for them to do. People usually like to do what other people are doing. It takes a certain type of character not to do something what somebody else is doing, because then you have a good mindset. And he said, brother, husband spent all his paycheck before his next paycheck will come. I'm just paraphrasing. And I used to help, but now I stopped because he didn't appreciate. what advice do you have? No, keep helping. Because if you don't help, you'll be miserable also. You should also say that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate. Forget him appreciating because it's your family. If you help him with something, inshallah, you're helping your family, and do it for the sake of Allah. So whether he appreciates or doesn't appreciate, some brothers are really miserable. A'udhu billahi min adhab illah. They're miserable, miserable, miserable. They appreciate nothing. This is, I have money. I get the money, you didn't get the money. They're horrible. They're really miserable. So some of the brothers and sisters have a counseling, but I have my money and I paid my bill and I didn't pay my bill. For Allah's sake, what is wrong with you guys? What is the problem? I said, this is your family, I'm working for my family. Well, if you're working for your family, then you cannot be like that. So sister, if you're really going to help him for the sake of Allah. So if he doesn't appreciate, who cares? Doesn't matter. But you should let him know, say, look, I'm trying to help the family, but maybe you need to get him out and try to go to the masjid and try to make him a bit more religious, and then he will appreciate that the ni'mah is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will have your reward, inshallah. So don't cut things if you have something to help, because you're helping your family, inshallah.